Now I know truly that the Lord hath sent his angel and delivered me from every expectation of the people of the Jews. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is a curious truth about our human nature, man's infinite capacity for contentment. In spite of all the complaining we do, very often we do manage to be happy. Far be it from me to question this sunny optimism. We need more of it in our lives. But never please at the price of the truth. Never to go with blinders so as not to see what is really going on. I was thinking about this last Sunday in the midst of all the splendor of that beautiful procession, the vigilant prayer of the adoration, so many hours of Corpus Christi, and that sweet and touching scene we have each year. This year, some 20 little children coming up so devoutly to receive their Lord for the first time in Holy Communion. And then the news this week, too, about the church being almost ready. It is enough to make you think that all is well. But of course we know that all is not well. Our situation in the church today, dear faithful, in this church, is the pure mercy of the Sacred Heart. I know no other explanation than the powerful patronage of St. Gertrude. But in the Church Catholic, we find ourselves a little bit but worse off than did that small group of Catholics at Rome on this night, the 29th of June, in our Lord's year 64. St. Peter that day had been crucified upside down, and St. Paul executed with a sword. Imagine the sentiments of the Catholics who were left. Who will lead us? What will become of us? They're shaking their heads sadly. They went to their homes, leaving the two pillars, the columns of the church, behind to be buried. But our situation today is worse than that of the year 64 AD. Imagine if then two imposters had emerged who began to preach convincingly. Why, there's no need for the pagans to convert. Let's not rile things up. You can take the oath. Don't bother about that. And maybe we'll change our worship a little bit to work in some of the pagan themes to make them more comfortable. Let's emphasize instead getting along with everybody and respecting the pagan religion. And let's see if we can't work for peace and solidarity throughout the Roman Empire. Can you imagine such a fate? It is ours and worse today. Man has an infinite capacity for self-contentment, perhaps because we kid ourselves so easily too. Or take, for example, the case of a young lady or young man, say in his late teens or early 20s. He's still living at home. He has a job, some spending money, but the job or perhaps his education don't make too many serious demands on him or his energies. He has his wheels. He has his independence. He comes and goes as he likes. When he would like to, he has a home-cooked meal from mom and a roof over his head. But for the rest of it, he's on his own and he has a girlfriend. And that means pretty much today he has someone with whom he may sin seriously against the Sixth Commandment in a serial fashion. And it's all quite respectable. No one says a word about it. Oh, he's shrugged off the idea of going to church. He's past 18, you see, and it's not for him anymore. Never mind the scandal he gives to his younger siblings. He should be quite content to listen to him. All he does is complain. But actually, if he ever thought it through, he would say, "Life is sweet. I've got it all." So it's not to seem to pick on teenagers. I cite to you an example our Savior gave himself in a parable about that wealthy gentleman farmer who at the end of the season, surveying his filled barn, said, "Rest on now, all is well." At our Savior's interjection, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. What is it that has so corrupted the church? What is it that corrupts souls and families? In a word, it is naturalism. Naturalism means the belief that man can attain his happiness, his purpose, his ends in life in a purely natural way. The devil is a naturalist. Lucifer in the garden came quite content with his angelic nature. He had all the powers of an angel, even though he was fallen now into hell. He had, he thought, no need of God. And so he speaks about that same subject to Eve. Eat the fruit, disobey, you shall become as gods. The temptation to make of their little garden an earthly paradise with reference to no one else. That is naturalism. It is, in effect, once it becomes organized, the worship of man instead of the worship of God. And as you know from past sermons and your own reading, organized it has been. Its two organized major forces in the world are Judaism and Freemasonry. St. Peter knows in today's epistle that our Lord has delivered him from the expectation of the people of the Jews, and I wish that you could know that same truth, my dear faithful. Freemasonry, the other arm of this horrible conspiracy of hell, it goes all the way back to original sin, against God and his commandments, seeks to organize itself as a kind of a counter-church, the church of the worship of man, a natural church versus the supernatural church, which is alone the holy Catholic religion. It has its goals and its aims in mind. It knows it must soften society if ever it is to succeed. We are in the last stages of that process now. Society is softened by holding out to all of us, and not just to our young people, as the proper goal of life, money and a social standing and power and prestige and pleasure. You better have pleasure and a whole lot of it every day, or else your life has no meaning. That is the purpose of your life. The means employed by these organized forces of naturalism are multiple in the propaganda. One thinks of entertainment, music and movies. That whole industry is, of course, controlled by the Jews, and the same message is always given. I read just the other day in the paper about how young ladies today now feel themselves more and more inclined towards the same promiscuity one only saw in certain degenerate young men because of the TV programs which they watch. In addition to entertainment, there's the education. Almost all education today takes one towards a naturalistic goal. That alone is worthwhile. Forget about God or his law or his commandments. And then there is law, which is twisted today. What need one say about our judiciary, which has become our legislative branch, and the decisions that were made this past week? I hope you all know where they are going with that one. And so the same sad litany continues of utter naturalism in society itself. Having softened society, then they turn to the church to destroy the last bulwark to resist the error of naturalism. They have two goals in mind. The creation of a one-world church to go with their one-world government, and to put a Freemason or a man who is sympathetic to those ideals on the throne of Peter. This was accomplished already in the year 1958. We are, as I say, in the very last stages of this whole process. And you know well what this new religion entails. It entails a kind of ecumenism, that all religions are the same, basically, because they're all just from man. That dogma is changeable, that religion should be centered on man in its worship and in its social gospel aspect. In a word, that you should look in your own personal way for the God or the higher power within you. And having found that God of your own making, why go out and try to make the world a better place. That is essentially the message of the book by John Paul II called The Threshold of Hope, Crossing the Threshold of Hope. I call it The Threshold of Despair. It is very popular and very applauded, as is he, by all the world, because he is the apostle of a new religion, and everybody loves to hear about it, the worship of man. What we need today are apostles, men. Now, necessarily, they will be fallen men because of the truth of original sin. But by the supernatural, by sanctifying grace, see what a difference is made. Here you had a Pharisee. St. Paul said, I used to outdo the Jews. A man who, even after his conversion, remained somewhat prickly and somewhat pushy, perhaps, but who preached day in and day out throughout the whole of the known world that gospel by which alone we are saved. And he said, by the grace of God, not by my own efforts, by the grace of God I am what I am. And then we have Peter. For any of you parents who grow weak-kneed at the thought of a confrontation with your children, Peter is your patron. How many times he fell. How many times he begged, but then he couldn't stand up to the pressure. He fell when he depended on himself. But God's grace raised him up again and again. What Peter had going for him was this. He loved our Lord. He loved him. And because of that, our Lord forgave him again and again and made of him the rock on which the Catholic Church is still built today. Now I know truly, Peter writes, remembering it later, that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me from every expectation of the people of the Jews. What is our situation today? Are we truly in the last stages? Is it all just beyond hope? Are all of our kids going to hell in a handbasket? And the church and the government and the world and all the rest of it? That kind of a dark despair is only a temptation from the same one who started it all, the devil. Don't fall for it. But neither should we be Pollyannas to consider that if I have my little bit, if I make somehow, as I do sometimes in my life, pretty much of a paradise out of my back garden, then all is well and I needn't worry about anything. No, that wouldn't be true or accurate either. The truth of the matter is this. I am like Peter, and every day, more or less, I am imprisoned. I feel the weight of my chains. I hear them clang as I drag them behind me each day. But if every day I am like Peter, chained in prison, and is the church, and is society, and is my family, then every day, in some way, I know truly he has sent his angel. That is to say, a supernatural assistance for me. It could be an inspiration. It could be actual grace. Today's infusion of sanctifying grace. He sends his angel to deliver me. Today, again, he sets me free. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.